fixes, whatever he did. He was a secular guy, Azar, and a chevron, a charming fellow. And he untigakai with them, and he drank with them, and he danced with them, and he got this man out. And ultimately, the man came out of Russia, this man, and he died very young from cancer in Toronto, in Canada. One story. Now, this man's name, this 18-year-old boy who went through this process, his name was Simon Yakobashvili. Yakobashvili in Georgia, Yakob is Jacob, and Shvili in Georgia means son. It's my father's father. His name was Simon Yakobashvili. My brother's named after him.
When was your time?
Beis Tammuz. He died on Beis Tammuz. Mashal Rebbe Nissim Shemtev, who was one of the 10, died on Hei Tammuz. There were more. There was a guy, one of the 10 was Rabbi Yankel Zhuravitzer, who was my father's mile. Rabbi Yankel Maskalik. My father was born in Moscow on Tesvav Sivan, the day the Friedhebber was arrested. But he was yellow, so they pushed off his bris to Beis Tammuz. And I remember 2 years ago, my cousin discovered in Russia or in Lithuania, in Riga, a letter that my grandfather wrote to the Friedrich Rebbe describing my father's bris, which was, I think, in 33 or in 34. So it was Yud Beis Tammuz time, so they like had Shiva Simei HaMishta after the bris. And they said there was nobody sober by the table. Everybody in the morning was 7 days they went. In any case, Chassidim in Russia survived this. So this is one of the shluchim of the Friedrich Rebbe, whom I was zeicha to be, my grandfather, who went through this process. You think about what it means to be a Rebbe, what it means to imagine calling in 9 people. I mean, you ever heard of such a thing? Imagine calling in 9 people and you're telling them, it's not like you train a soldier to go to war. You're fighting for your country. Also, it's dangerous. He might come, he might not, he might come back, he might not come back. Here there was a regime of Chveis. How many millions of people? Unbelievable millions of people. And he called the 9 people and he said, we're going to fight. We're going to fight till the last drop of blood. They agreed and they fought. They fought. They fought a regime that seemed impenetrable. You couldn't penetrate it. You don't remember, when I grew up, if you would say in my house that the communists are going to fall, my father would scoff at you. Saying the communists are going to fall is like saying that America will be wiped out by Britain, you know, by Australia. No, really. The Australian Yukloch are going to wipe out the Americans, you know. Communism was etzem. It was it. It was half the world that had the atom bomb. It was etzem. But Friedrich Rebbe had gone to Gewurst. He knew one thing. It's symptom is nishke pshute. Taylor's emes, Alakus is emes. Yiddishkeit has to be kept up, and that's truth. So he fought. They were Lepoyel Mamish. You're talking that video, it's unbelievable. But yet, all the seeds, all the embers started to glow, and the Torah is blossoming there. It was an impenetrable foe he took on. That was the Friedrich Rebbe's message. So Mela, we live today in very different circumstances, but we're sitting together, Yud Beis Tammuz, in Melbourne, Australia. The Rebbe Tuchamon gesagt, Melbourne is meine. Yeah. Is it Zelda Tate, ich weiß. Melbourne is mine and Melbourne is mine. Yudbis Tammuz, Achweis, years later. And nobody has to give their last drop of blood, but you gotta give your last drop of ego and of energy and of your who you are. Atibis Damachreina. From Chassidim, Tzmimim, the Rabbeim wanted everything. All. Different Jews, you want a donation. You know, Chabad House, the Shluchim, no. This guy, $100 a year. This guy, the jackpot, $10,000 a year. You know, you want to hit, this guy, you hit a jackpot. He'll sponsor the building. Sponsor the building. But from Tzmimim, from Bachrim, everything. The Nefesh, the Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida, the Hest, everything. You think you could give everything? Your shirts, your pants, your underwear. You gotta give away your underwear. Huh? What cost money? His money. No, the underwear. You have to give away your glasses. I don't mean you have to take your glasses and break them or take your underwear and remove them. But that's the Indian. There was once a group of Ganovim. They would rob everybody in the forest, like mafia nicks. And then they would divide the robbery. One, somebody took a little extra. So the head of the Ganovim made a meeting and he said, if there's not going to be honesty between us, between whom do we expect? Where do we expect to find honesty? He said, where are we going to find Emes in this world? I said, we're a bunch of Ganovim. Where are you going to find honesty in the world? Good to you. Now here's the catch. The Rebbe didn't take away anybody's Pechira. Whoever wanted to be a politician, he let. Whoever wanted to be a ganav, he let. Whoever wanted to lie, he let. Whoever wanted to be a lowlife, he let. That's the klal. Did everyone explain why Erev HaBrengen? He said, Pchida comes from the fact that you're one with Atzmus. Because the only one who's not compelled is God himself. So to take away that inyan, which indicates that a Yid is one with Atzmus, he can't take that away. You can use it for bad things, yeah, but to take it away, that's where you're one with the Eibishter. You have Pchida. You can be the master of your own life. So mainly you have people who are this and who are that and who are that. It's always was like that and it always will be. Always will be. Nachshon ben Aminadov, who went into the sea, was one of the Messiahim. He was one of you died, but he was one of the Messiahim. As I say, Nachshon ben Aminadov was. You know the Ma'aseh of the Messiahim? You never heard of it? Anybody knows the Ma'aseh of the Messiahim? Huh? Before the sloth, huh? Machlekes. The cover did with Tammuz, it's a good thing that you should start learning Chumash and Rashi. One of the takonas of the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe Zerichacht, is Shiurei Chitas. Shiurei Chitas is every day you learn a parasha Chumash with Rashi. If you need an English Chumash and Rashi, use an English Chumash and Rashi, but you should know the Chumash and the Rashi of the week. Parshas Balayos was a few weeks ago. A bacha doesn't know what the Messiahim are. You got to learn Chumash and Rashi. For Melech, you have to make achlatas. So if anything, the first achlatas should be Learn Chumash, you should know Chitas every day. You gotta know the Parsha, Tanya, Tillim. So Nachzal in Yaneinu, how do we get into this? The Rebbe didn't take away the Bechira from anybody. Misaynim is a story in the Torah portion of Mahaloyscha. What's so funny? In the book of Numbers in Bamidbar. Parshas Mahaloyscha. It's a story about complainers, whatever. People who complained. Misaynim means complainers. So there's a shitta that Nachshon and another was one of them. Bottom line is that nobody takes away Bechira. There's a story in Gemara, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and L'Besayif Nasat Zduki. So the Rebbe once tied, he was a Kohen Gadol for 30 years, and L'Besayif then Nasat Zduki is Gevaren Gerecht by sich. He felt complacent. After 80 years, Nasat Zduki, he felt, oh, I'm a tzaddik. That was the beginning of all you did this. The day you feel, I'm fine, huh? I'm excellent. I'm perfect. How are you? No worries. I'm perfect. Smugness. Don't be smug. Take a drill and drill through your yeshes. Drill through the inyanim. Don't be smug. Don't be complacent. Rav Shrayin. Oy, smugness is the chmamish, the enemy of Kedusha. You know what smugness is? Smug is when you're like just content where you are. It's like when you were a kid, did you ever get into mud and like just like it? You know what I mean? It's like at a beachfront, at an ocean front, you play with the sand as a kid, and you make this whole thing, and you put yourself under the sand, you bury yourself till on top of your neck, and it just feels like good. No, you don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, whatever it is, there's a word for it in Tehillim. We say it also in the Shabbos. Hasha'ananim, habuz l'geyayinim. It's an interesting kapitel. Hasha'ananim. So nachzal in yaneinu, from different people, different things, but from the bachrim, the rabbeim, demanded mamash. Bakal Mikilka. It doesn't stifle your individuality, it elevates your individuality to the realm of infinity. But the bottom line is, I say the meaning of Bakal Mikilka. I don't know if you're familiar with the joy that comes. Do we need commentary for the events now? I don't know if you're familiar with the joy that comes from Bittul, Bakal Mikelkel. It's an infinite joy. The joy that comes from Bittul Mamish is a different type of joy. Because it's like you lose your self-consciousness. L'chaim, l'chaim. The Ebershter Zolgabin, that each of us should have the courage and the braveness to transcend our egos, this Yud Beis Tamos, and to connect with the part of us that we need to connect with. And we should inspire ourselves to zich meschazek zayin in alle inyanim, from Teiris Achsidus, from Darki Achsidus, from the Rebbe's Derech Achayim. Kol chad v'chad v'fum shi'uri delay. Shlach lecha l'daitcha. Gonna do it on your own. The special times, bachrim, told my wife, I wish I was like for 6 months, get a sabbatical from marriage, just become a bach for 6 months. Why don't they do it? But in the middle, 6 months, the Sava Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lius Leidida B'Tachteinim, Svamela, I'm going to come home to an angry wife. But you're not. You gotta celebrate your life. You gotta suck the marrow out of your existence, your daily existence. Stop looking like Aravas that were hit 5 times on the ground or 550 times on the ground. You know what the Aravas look like when they're in Kodesh for 7 months? You come into some yeshivas and you look at the Bach and they look at the Aravas like the Aron Kodesh. They put you on the Aron Kodesh instead of the Aravas. Yisraelili. You gotta seize the moments. You have to utilize every moment, every shah, every month, every year. Don't think I'm 18, I'm 17. When I'm 21, I'll become a mensch. About to be 21, you can become a mensch. When you're 31, you can become a mensch. When you're 71, you can become a mensch. Till your last breath, you can become a mensch. And if not in this Gilgal, you do it in the next Gilgal. If not in the next Gilgal, you do it in the third Gilgal. You're 17, you're 16, you're 18, whatever, you're 19. Seize the moment. Don't live a life of surrendering to your external moods or impulses. Become masters of your destiny. Fill your days and nights with substance, with true authentic content, with genuine depth. Live rich lives. I'm telling them to live rich lives, not poor lives. What's a rich life? The Rebbe used to say in the name of the Friedrich Rebbe in Russia, in the strange, there's three classes. First class for the multis, the middle class is for the well-to-do, and the third class is for the schnorrers. So the Rebbe said like this. Most Jews go on the second class. Who goes on the first class? Either if you're very, very wealthy or you're very, very poor. Why is a very poor person going on first class? Because he's anyway not paying for the ticket. So if you're anyway not paying for the ticket, might as well get first class. You're anyway snoring the money. If you're anyway snoring the money, you know, do it the right way. This is a vart of the Friedrich Rebbe. So the Rebbe used to say like this. If you're going with your own keiches, you basically make it to second class. Yeah. You say, listen, it's not my keiches, it's the Rebbe's keiches. The Rebbe's keiches is going first class already. It's the Chinesh Daina Zach. So you gotta live rich lives. Rich identities, rich lives. Your days and nights should be rich. How is a day and a night rich? How can a bacha make a day and a night rich? Sitting in a prison sentence for a year, 2 years, 3 years, like we spoke about Yosef HaTzadik. How can a prison sentence be rich? Huh? A good morning, a vadam, a good morning. You know the yeshiva where I teach, I go from table to table, 7:30, they're all ready to commit suicide, they tell me, which bridge should I jump? Okay, from tish to tish, slap them on the back. 7:30, you gotta scream, doesn't work any other way. Sorry. Shtus dikdusha. I say, guys, you must not do that, no? Good morning at every table. Chevra usually depressed and melancholy. But how do you take and make your days rich? How do you make a day rich? What's considered a rich day? What's considered a rich day? A meaningful day? Ah?
You waste less time.
What if it's a good bull session?
Thank you.
Only a bacher can have like a... we once had an 8.5 hour bull session. Today this must have a greater numbers, no? We once had in yeshiva 8.5 hour bull session. We started at 11 at night, but we finished when dawn broke. We went to eat breakfast. We came back for chassidus for the continuation of the bull session. It's called bull. Bull is a Rosh Hashanah's bleak bull. Or bull bull. In any case, it was a rich day, a meaningful day. A rich and meaningful day means a day in which your behavior matches your deeper self. A rich day is a matching day. A day in which you're living with your true self. You challenge your external self, you question it, you talk about it, you do things that express your inner self. You challenge yourself. You don't succumb to the veneer of your impulses. And since Torah nourishes the inner self, so learning Torah is the primary way of having a rich day. A bull session nourishes your instant need for gratification. It's like a movie. Or it's like a cookie, like a Danish, a cheesecake. What's the union of a movie? The union of a movie is, it's the greatest, one of the greatest methods that our world invented to teach people how to not to deal with their true self. Because when you're in a bad mood, you go watch a movie. And the movie is exciting. And since it's exciting, it covers up. Because then for the next 4 hours you can analyze the movie. Tamachai. Other people go to the pantry or the refrigerator. Am I depressed? I might be depressed, but the comedian on television is funny. These are all great methods with which to avoid dealing with who you are. Excellent methods. The best. The best. Next time when you feel an emptiness, instead of going to the screen, take your mobile phone, play regular telephone, and call up your friend and say, I'm feeling empty. Why? Oh. Now you lived a rich life. Now you lived a rich life. You did it the right way. Are we communicating? I hope we're communicating. So the mail of the maskana is, the maskana mekala amr le'el is, that is eiri, kiva eirich kumi eiri. Uri uri shir da beiri, kvayin Hashem alayich nigla. You know what those Chinese words mean? Hisairi, arise, arise, because your light has come. Stand up, my light. Something like that. Uri, uri, wake up, wake up. Shir da beiri, utter a song. Kvayd Hashem alayich nigla. So the Ibush together, namaz alkenen tansen. The b'chin is shir da beiri, kvayd Hashem alayich nigla. His galus Mashiach to take it from me. Yad l'chaim, l'chaim. You got a copy. Shmei's report from Australia.
Correspondence.
Give a whistle, a bicycle, anyway, the Indian is as a. Now the mashpia is gone. So we can shut the lights.
Mashgiach.
By
angle.
We can shut the lights. And start making some trouble. Some say this, some say that. The slonim, that's how they do shalashuddas. They shut the lights, and it's mamash la'ela la'ela. Why am I ruining the exile? L'chaim brider, l'chaim yidin, yishikoyech chode negunim. L'chaim. What's with Seder tomorrow? Huh? 8:30? What about Sovzman Krishma? No, you'd be stamos to miss Krishma. There's a lashon on the Sichis. The Shveret Sechmeisa Meisa Nefesh given on three things, and one of them is Krishma Bizmana. You know that? They look at Krishma in time. Huh? I don't remember. I think Chinuch. I don't know what it means. I never understood what it means. Like, what do you have to be Meisa Nefesh? The truth is, with the Bachim, you can understand why you have to be Zech Meisa Nefesh Krishna Bizman. About what? If they bring every content to Cabrain. So he'll also stay up late. And Elchayim, my dear friends. Elchayim, Briden. L'chaim Yidin. The adults love, always like saying to Bachdim, you know, you have to realize you get married, you're not going to have time to learn. It's one of their favorite euphemisms or lines. You know, when I was a Bachdim, I wished I would have used my time better. You're a bacha now, you're so lucky. The bacha, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, they always love to say it, I'm so lucky. What makes me so lucky? It's one of the old stuff the adults tell the bacha, you know, when I was your age, I remember, I wish I would have learned. You'll excuse me for a moment. So you shut to the sense of the mishpach. L'chaim. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about another Indian. There was a Simon Tamaisa. There was a a stingy guy in shul, but Hachnas HaSarachim was a mitzvah, so he used to invite the guests to eat Shabbos. It was embarrassing. Everybody has guests besides he. But he was so stingy, he couldn't tolerate the fact that the guest would actually eat his food. So he had a deal with his wife. She would serve the fish, and when he would start eating the fish, and the poor man was ready to start eating the fish, his wife would start asking the poor man questions. Where are you from? Who are you? Where are you going? And you know, when you're a host at somebody's home, and the host is asking you questions, it's uncomfortable to eat, because... And she would ask the questions till her husband would finish the fish. And then when he would finish, she would say, okay, time for the soup. And she would take away her husband's fish and the fish of the poor man that wasn't touched. And she would bring the soup. When she would bring the soup, the husband would start asking questions. And she would eat the soup. She would eat and eat and eat and eat the soup. And when she would finish, he would say, okay, time for the chicken. And the poor person didn't eat the soup and came to the chicken, was the same isa. So each week they brought somebody else, and the guy went home starving. And in the meantime, they were stingy and they didn't give away their food to anybody. After a few years, one guy decided, I'm going to go and I'm going to teach them kairach. I'm going to teach them a lesson. So he goes, he sits down, she serves the fish, and the guy, the gevir, starts eating. And the poor man is ready to start eating, but she starts asking questions. She says, tell me, where are you from? He says, I come from the city Vilna. She says, ah, you come from Vilna. You must know my brother. My brother's the Sheikh of Vilna. What's his name? Yeah, he tells her his name. She says, yeah. He says, of course I know your brother. So she goes to the next question. She says, tell me, how's my brother doing? The man says, your brother died. Brother died. Huh? When did he die? Mishpacha with kinder. How is his wife? How is his wife taking it? Almana, my sister-in-law. She died. She's her brother. And what about the Yisoymim? There's so many orphans, all the kids. They died. She was, started to cry, and her husband, he went and he ate up the fish. They take away the fish, they bring the soup. Now it's his turn. She's eating and it's his turn. She says, you're coming from Vilna, where are you going? He says, I'm going to the city. I go every year to collect money for the yeshivas. It's a city called Odessa in Russia. He says, ah, in Odessa. You go there every year, yeah? He says, you must know the Rav of Odessa. He says, the Rav of Odessa is my brother-in-law. He says, yeah. He says, when have you seen him last? He says, a few months ago when I was there last. How is he doing? He died. How is his wife? She died. They're hollering and screaming and crying. And the children, they died. All the mishpachas. Fine. He's quiet, she's quiet, they're crying. He finishes the soup. Comes out to the chicken. Now it's her turn to ask the questions. It's her turn to ask the questions. So she asks, which cities did you pass on your way? You're going from Vilna to Odessa. On the way you stopped here, you have to pass cities. She says, yeah, stopped in a city. It's called Slutsk. It's Kharkov. She stopped there. Ah, that city, my parents live there. My parents. You know my parents, Chasheva Yidin, Big Bali Tzedakah. Of course, yeah. How's my father doing? He died. My mother, she died. There, by this time, they're already devastated. They're screaming. He finishes the chicken. Finally, they turn to him and say, we don't understand. Everybody died. her brother and her sister-in-law and her orphans, his brother and his sister-in-law and their mother and their father, everybody's dead. He says, when I'm eating, the whole world is dead. But ich es is the ganze Welt gestorben. He fixed their wagon. He fixed their wagon as a kidaboy lamavet. Story has many morals. One moral of the story is, besides the other morals, is that when you eat, the whole world gotta die. What do I mean? I'm not chmendis how to eat. How to eat. I'm going to tell myself how to eat. But that's the deeper stuff. This is the Pshat HaPnimi. What's Pshat HaPnimi? There's two terms in Chassidus. A Chitzin and a Pnimi. Chitzin is an external man. Pnimi is an internal man. What's the difference? A Chitzin is somebody who everything that he does or doesn't do is based on other people's expectations or desires. If you want me to say this, I'll say this. You don't want me to say this, I won't say it. I need to fit into your agenda. That's a chitzin. You don't do things or say things because that's who you are. It's all based on chitzinis. It's all based on external expectations. What you like to hear, that's what I say. You understand? What's a pnimi? A pnimi is you're in touch with your insides. You say things that you feel, and things you don't feel, you don't say. And you do things that you feel you should do. It's the right thing to do, or you want to do, or whatever it is. Not based on other people's expectations, other people's desires. Whatever they say, whatever they think. The foundation of growth and of good, of chassidus, is to be a pnimi, not to be a chitzan. Not to be nispol, what other people say or don't say, positive or negative, whatever, they are they, you are you. Doesn't mean you have to embarrass them. You don't have to change your identity based on what another guy wants to hear. When you're involved in something, be involved. That's also another difference in a pnimi and a chitzin. A chitzin is never involved in anything really. Because everything he's involved in is just because of external circumstances. So he's never involved in it for real. You could see by a Fabrengen how a Chitzin sings a song and how a Pnimi sings a song. I said to Maisa, the Rebbe told Dayan Fisher, he has his brim down. He says, for me it's enough to look at my own Dalaramas. A Chitzin is always looking at somebody else's Dalaramas. So he can never really be involved in anything. The whole world is never dead. He does it because of the world. A pnimi, the world is dead. I'm involved in it, I'm involved in it. He's a real person. He does things based on his own convictions. That's the difference between a chitzin and a pnimi. In Lubavitch, it says in Lachuti Deburim, the worst insult was a chitzin. It was the worst insult to tell somebody you're a chitzin. And why am I saying all this whole mice? I'm saying it as a... The only time in your life when the world can be dead is when you're a bachin. Afterwards, there's a very different responsibility. The world cannot allow to be dead. It has to be a vibrant place. When you're a bachin, you can eat the fish and the soup and the chicken, and the ganze Welt is dead. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, everybody. Nisht chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom begashamis. But talking about beruchnius, a bachin, you could varv zecharayim. You could varv zecharayim in the yam. Torah, the Yam of Chassidus, and nothing else exists. That's the opportunity of a Bach. So you'll say, why should you? I want other things to exist. I don't want to drown in the sea. I want to be on top. I want to have side sea and side dry land. That's fun. But you can never experience the sea if you don't go in. You can never experience it. You can't experience it if you're one leg in the beach and one leg on the sand. just a drop in the water. The Baal Shem Tov said Hashem is fire. Hashem alakach eish eichlo. Fire, either you stay away. Stay away. If you want to have a relationship with fire, you have to be ready to be consumed by it. You can't have one finger on fire and say, I'll enjoy the fire a little bit. If you want fire, either go all the way, get burned, chas v'shalom, or stay away. It's not half. Other things, you can be halfway in water. You can be halfway in sand. You can be halfway in mud. You can't be halfway in fire. It's impossible. It's too painful. It's going to get you. It's going to get you all. Even if you can bear the pain, in a moment, the fire is going to spread. If you don't want to be in fire, you got to stay away. If you go to fire, you have to be consumed. Zakta Baal Shem, that's proud in the pasuk. Hashem alakecha eish eichlu. Hashem is like fire. If you want to stay away, stay away. But if you want to have a relationship, you have to be ready to be consumed. You could be consumed. You could live, you could breathe, you could sleep, you could dream, you can fantasize, you can fabrenk, and like live the Rebbe's life in a way. What do I mean, the Rebbe's life? I mean the Rebbe's hashkafa. You can breathe it. It's like endless. Your days, your nights, Shabbos, weekdays. You could look at it as a prison, and you could look at it